Okay, today's top is Shabbat Daf Yud. We are at the top of Yud Amud Aleph. We just discussed two reconciliations for why it seemed that we treated Maariv more Machmir than Mincha, whereby Mincha, if you already started to eat something, you're allowed to continue. By Maariv, seemingly not so. So we reconciled it, and then we asked the following question. First of all, was it such a burden to rebuckle your belt? Meaning, okay, you unbuckled your belt and you started eating, but if you hadn't started eating yet, we should have you close your belt buckle, because what is it, such an absolute burden to have you close your belt buckle? That's what we're going to say, well, you already opened it, you might as well eat now.
Israel.
No, we learn from this pasuk that you are supposed to prepare yourself in order to greet a malach, one of the malachei Israel, or I'm sorry, the Elokecha Israel. Right, you're supposed to prepare yourself properly in order to pray to Kadosh Baruch Hu. In which case, you really should not daven with an open belt, and that's why you must have closed it. Rava Barahuna, Rami Puzamki Umatli. So they would put on very nice socks before they daven to show that they were preparing themselves to greet Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amaracho only krat, because of the pasuk of prepare yourself in order to meet Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rava Shadi Glima U Pacher Yade Umatli. So Rava would put a cloak over him, and he would clasp his hands, and he would say as following, Amar ke avda kame mare, right? I'm behaving like a slave in front of his master. Amar avashi chazina le l'Rav Kana ki ikad tsara be'alma. When we saw Rav Kana, when there was suffering in the world, shari glima upachar yade mitzale, right? So he would throw off his cloak, and he would clasp his hand and say, Amar ke avda kame mare, right? He says, I'm like a slave in front of my master. Ki ika shalma, but when there's peace in the world, right? When there's peace in the world, he would be dressed up properly in order to prepare himself to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Chazi le Rav Hamnuna de kama arich mitzlute. So Rav said that Rav Hamnuna was davening very long, davening Amar Manichin Chaye Olam Mechuskim Chaye Shah. Why are you leaving the next world behind, what you'd be deserving by learning Torah, and instead you're davening and asking for things you need for this world? And there's reason for Rav Hamnuna doing so is because he believed that Torah is a separate time than tefillah. There are times for tefillah, and the way you do is tefillah, with times for Torah, which you do is Torah, because they don't overlap. By davening an extended tefillah, it doesn't count as distracting from your learning. So Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah noticed it was time for Shkia. He didn't have a mincha, so he started running through things. At which point, Rabbi Zera says, someone who doesn't listen to the Torah properly, so his tefillah is a to'eva. So Rabbi Yirmiyah was trying to finish up his learning very, very quickly. Rabbi Zera was not happy that he was trying to speed through his learning in order to catch mincha in time. He thought the learning was more important, and he said you shouldn't speed up. Okay, so we said from the beginning of the din, the beginning of the psak din. What is the beginning of the psak din? Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Yonah chanamar mishayit atfu adayanin. One says when the dayanim wrap themselves in prayer shawls, as is customary. Chanamar mishayit patchu baledinim. Other one says when the baledinim begin to start talking about the case. Velo pligi had the aski vahad bedina ve'atu bedina had lo aski ve'atu bedina. And it's actually not a machloke. One is when if they had a previous debate beforehand, their previous din beforehand, then they would just continue on their way, and we would know it started when the defendants started to share their claims. Rav Ami and Rav Asi have iyatvi begarsi b'nei amudei, so they would sit between two pillars and learn kol shata v'shata have utabchi a ibra d'dasha. They would knock on the bolt of the door every hour. The Amri, Iika de Itle Dina Leul Velete. If anyone has a Din Torah, they should come before us. Rav Chizda, Rav Arahuna, Havu Yadvi Bedina, Kula Yoma. So they would sit and judge all day. Havaka Chalish Levayhu. And they became very, very weak and faint because they had meaning. Tanelahu, Rav Chia, Bar Ramidiv. So Rav Divdi learned the following pasuk to them. The Amod, Ha'am, Al Moshe Minabokarad Erev. The nation would congregate around Moshe Rabbeinu from the morning till the evening. Right? Is it really feasible that Moshe Rabbeinu spent morning till evening just doing dayanut, just judging cases? When did he learn his Torah? He wouldn't have time for anything else. Right, rather, this is just a nice idea to show you that anyone who any judge who judges a proper din Torah, even for 1 hour, it's as if he learned it all day. Why? Because we considered him as if he's actually a partner in creation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know that it's like a part? He's like a partner with Kadosh Baruch Hu and Masav Reishi because of the Xerisha Ktiv Acha V'yamura Amal Moshe Mina Boker Ara Erev. And the nation stood on Moshe from the morning to the evening. V'chtiv Atam, and it's written there. V'yir V'boker Yom Echad. It was in the evening and in the morning, day one. So the Erev and the Voker used in both places, draw the link to one from one to the other. And until what time do you sit in judgment during the day Amarav, Amarav Sheshet Ad Zma Nesuda? Until time for the meal. Amarav Chama Maikra, what's the puzzle that tells you that? Dichtiv, Eilcha Erej Shemelacha Ne'ar Visarecha Baboker Yachlu. Meaning, woe is to the land who their officers eat early in the morning. Right, and praiseworthy is the land who their nobles eat only later on. Right, and they eat in strength and not in drunkenness. What does it mean to eat in strength and not in drunkenness? Right, that you eat after the gvura shel Torah. You eat after having learned Torah, or judged Torah, and you're not, and you haven't yet drank anything. Right, the first hour of the day is the time that lodim would eat. They were cannibals. They're very, very. They would eat as early as they possibly could in the morning. Shnia ma'achal listim, right? And the second hour of the day is the time that robbers and bandits eat before everyone else starts really getting up. Shlishi ma'achal yorshin. And the third hour is when inheritors eat because they don't really have much pressure. They got all their, they don't have to work for a living. They got all their money and their food for free. Ravid ma'achal po'alim. The fourth hour is the hour where the workers eat. Chamishit machal kol adam. And then the fifth hour is when everyone would eat. Eini, is that really true? Baba Rafapa revit zman se'uda lekol adam. Right? The fourth hour is a time for se'uda for all people. And not the fifth hour. Ella, rather, what should you say? Revit machal kol adam. Right? The fourth hour is when everyone can eat. Chamishit machal polim. Right? And the fifth hour is the one where the workers would get up and eat. Shisha machal tamir chacham. Right, and if it's 6 hours of the day, that's the type of meal that a Talmid Chacham should be having. However, afterward, he pushes off eating beyond the sixth hour, then it's not healthy. It's like throwing just a small thing down in a it's like it basically just eating on a completely empty stomach. Amar Abaye, lo amran ela de lo taim midi bitzafra aval taim midi bitzafra li lamba. But that's only in reference to someone who did not eat anything in the morning. If you eat anything in the morning, then you're fine. Amar Rav Ada bar Ava bitpala adam tefilato bebeit hamerchatz. You're allowed to daven in a bathhouse. Medive, we challenge the shita. Nichlas bebeit hamerchatz. Someone goes into the bebeit hamerchatz into the bathhouse. Makom shibnei adam omdin levushin. If people are standing there generally dressed, yesha mikra betvila avein zarech lomar sheilat shalom. Right, so you're allowed to dive in there and you got to dive in there. You got to learn there. You got to read the Torah. Ve'ein tzarech lomar shel shalom. And obviously, you're allowed to wish your friend shalom. Maniach tefillin. You got to put on tefillin. Ve'ein tzarech lomar she'ein ocholetz. And obviously, you don't have to take them off once they're already on. Makom shnei bnei adam omdin. In a place where some of the people are going to be undressed, some of the people are going to be clothed, yesh sham shelat shalom, you're allowed to ask your friend how they're doing, shelat shalom, wish them peace. Ve'ein sham mikra v'tfilah, but you don't read in the Torah or daven. Ve'einu cholat tfilin, you don't have to take off your tefillin, it's already on. Ve'einu manicha l'chilah, however, you shouldn't put it on, ideally to go in there. Makom shem ne'adam amudim orumim, and if you're in a place where everyone is standing without clothes, ein sham shelat shalom, right, then there's no shelat shalom at all. Ve'ein tarach lomar mikra v'tfilah, and obviously there's no mikra Kriv Tvila, Vecholet Tvila, Tvilin, and we tell you to have to take off your Tvilin in that place. And obviously, it goes without saying, you can't put it on Lechachila. So maybe we're talking about a Merchatz that has no Adam, meaning we just challenge it. We just said what Rav Ada Bar Ava said that you're allowed to daven and do mikra, that was talking about in a bit of merchatz that no one was in. V'amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina merchatz shamru afapi she'en bo adam betakize shamru afapi she'en bo tzoa. Wait, but didn't we teach that a bathhouse, even though there's no one in there, it still has the status of a bathhouse, so we treat it that way, just like someone, just like if a bathroom has not been, a bathroom has been completely cleaned out and there's nothing there, still, we still treat it like a bathroom. Ella kikama urav ada bechadati. Rather, no, wasn't he talking about someone that no one was there, because that wouldn't actually change the halacha, but he was talking about a new one that is yet to be used. Right? So basically, we want to try to suggest that now perhaps the reason why these things can be done in a merchatz because the merchatz was never used, right? It was empty. It was never actually used, and so because it was brand new and it hadn't been used for that purpose, maybe you'd be allowed to daven there. So we know that to be the case, that if something is set aside to be a bathroom, then it already has the status of a bathroom if it's never used. And we ask, is that the case as well by bathhouses if they're never used? And we said, Nistama, yeah, that would be the same. And then we answered, Shani, Bidakise, Demise. Alternatively, you could say that a bathroom is different because a bathroom has a kind of a dirty, you know, has dirt around and a bathroom is dirty. In which case, Dafka by Abe Kise Zimun would already establish as a toilet such that it can be used for anything else. However, not by a merchatz that's new. Ain Sham Shailat Shalom. You're not allowed to ask your friend what they're doing with Shailat Shalom. Misaila the Rabam Nuna, Mishmeda Ula Damar U Asula Dam Shitain Shalom Khaver Bid Amirchat. You're not allowed to tell someone hi in the Bid Amirchat, Mirshum Shinamar, Vikra Lo Hashem Shalom. Because Hashem was called Shalom, right? If Shalom is Hashem, then you're allowed to use it to make a merchatz. It's an inappropriate time to pronounce to say his name. Elamata heminuta nami asur lemeimar. But then heminuta, right? The emanah of the Kodesh Baruch Hu should also be asur to say. The beit hakise in the bathroom. Mechliv, it's written el haneeman. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is neeman. He's reliable. So maybe all these adjectives should be off limits. Mechliv, but if you want to say yeah. Inachinami, you can't call a Kadosh Baruch Hu Ne'eman in the bathroom either. Amarav Shari Lameimar Emenuta Bebetakise Hatam Shem Gufe Lo Ikri Achid Betamar Geminan Allah Meheman Mehemena Hach Hashem Gufa Ikri Shalom Dichti Veikra Lo Hashem Shalom. Basically, we can differentiate between Shalom and Heimanuta, right? Ne'eman is just an adjective. It's describing a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Whereas Shalom is a name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So saying Ne'eman is a direct reference to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's just a meter that he has. Whereas Shalom is the name of is one of the names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's why you can't use it in the Beit HaMikdash. Amar Rav Bar Mechzia, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Amar Rav Anodim Adana Lachaveiro, Tzarech Ladiolo. If you give a gift to your friend, you gotta tell him, what you're giving. Shnei Amar Ladat Ki Anishem Mekadesh Shem. It's Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, you have to tell them, I'm giving them Shabbat, so that they'll know that I am Hashem, the one who makes them sanctified. Why do they have to be talking about this gift, unique gift that Moshe, that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael? Why did he mention at all? It must be that you're supposed to mention when you give someone a gift. You should know that I'm a Kodesh Baruch Hu who makes you sanctified. I'm like Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "Matana tova yesh lo bein gizai. I have a wonderful present in my treasury, v'shabbat shema, and its name is Shabbat, but in vacation in Israel, and I would like to give it to Klal Israel." In which case, he tells Moshe, go and tell them that I want to do this. He clearly is telling Klal Israel what he wants to do. Lech vodia ve ho diam mikan arishum gomliel hanotein pat latinok tarach lo dia leimo. And similarly, Rishum Gomliel taught that if you give bread to a child, you got to tell his mother that you gave him the bread, that you got the bread from you. My avidle. So how would you show that this child got the bread from you? Am rabaye shayif le mishcha umali le kuchla. So you could anoint him with oil, or you could put blue around his eyes, such that when he comes home and his mother asks, hey, where did all this come from? You tell them, you'd say that this certain person gave me food to eat. And now that we're concerned about witchcraft and various things like this, like putting things around your eyes and over anointing, what should you do in order to indicate that you are the one who sent the child with this food? Rather, you should anoint him with something that is from the same mean of the food that you actually gave him. Didn't we teach that you don't have to tell anyone if you give them a present? That contradicts everything we said so far. It's written, Moshe lo yadaki kirno parna v'dabro ito. And Moshe didn't realize that his face was glowing. This is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He didn't realize. In which case, I guess you don't have to tell anyone. Lo kash, it's not difficult. Right. What do you have to tell someone? Is what they're ultimately going to figure out. However, if they're not ultimately going to figure out, then you don't need to tell them. Shabbat is something that's avid ligluyeh. They'd figure out eventually that they'd have to keep Shabbat. In which case, it would be a milta de avid ligluyeh, and therefore it should not require you telling your friend that you gave it as a gift. Rav Chisda ava naki biyade tarti matanot. I skipped the line. Avid Ligluyeh, the Ha Shabbat, the Avid Ligluyeh, right? Shabbat is also Avid Ligluyeh. You would find out about Shabbat eventually, so why would we say that you don't have to tell your friend someone in that case? Matan Schara, lo Avid Ligluyeh. Because even though Shabbat itself would have been known, the Schar for Shabbat is unknown, and therefore it's considered like a Milda de lo Avid Ligluyeh. Rav Chisda, Ava Naki Biyade Tarte Matanta de Tura. Rav Chisda would hold two presents for the Kohanim of cuts of choice cuts of meat from an ox. Anyone who comes to tell me something new that I haven't heard from Rav, I'm going to give him these gifts. Rav Bar Mechzia says the following. If you give something to your friend, tzedakah to your friend, whatever it is, a gift to your friend, you got to tell them that you're giving. Shneimar, it's written, you have to know that I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes you sanctified. Yahava nihale. Amar chavivin alecha shem ata derav kulehai. So after he gives him the choice pieces of meat, he responds and says, wow, are the teachings of Rebbe so, so important to you? Amar Lei says, yeah, I love the teachings of Rebbe. Amar Lei, Hainu Damar Rav Milta Albishai Hu Yakira. He says, okay, well then I have another pshat from Rav. My pshat from Rav is that people who habituate themselves to doing very, very fine things are the ones who enjoy those fine things. But everyone else doesn't really care about it. So people who wear very, very nice clothing, so they are the ones who are now sensitive to only wearing nice clothing. But people who do not, who aren't so regular with it, are not going to be as sensitive. Amar le, Amar Rav Hachi Batraita Adifa Li. So it says, actually, I like the second statement you said by Rav so much better. Mikamaita from the first one. Vi hava nakitno achriti yavin alach. And just so you know, if I had any more meat, I would give it to you for that wonderful piece that you shared. Amar Rav Bar Mechzi, Amar Rav Chama Bar Guria, Amar Rav Lam Aishane Adam Beno Ben Habanim. Right? You should never show preferential treatment to one of your sons amongst others. Shemishvil Mishgal Shnei Slaim for a small preferential treatment that Yaakov gave to Yosef in his special cloak. Milad Shenatan Yaakov Li Yosef Yoter Mishar Banav. So what essentially happened as a result of the preferential treatment that Yosef got? Well, his brothers were mad at him, and they ultimately sold him, and we ended up in Mitzrayim. So our going down to Mitzrayim can be directly tied to the preferential treatment that Yaakov showed to Yosef, and so we give a warning here not to show any preferential treatment to one of your children.